This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast and our review of A Quiet Place Part 2. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Straight into the end for this brand new sequel horror, of course, to the big hit from a couple of years ago, A Quiet Place. You know, it's called A Quiet Place Part 2.
I got it.
It is this time written as well as directed by John Krasinski, of The Office fame.
Jack Ryan, baby.
And Jack Ryan, of course, as well. Last time around, it was created by Brian Woods and Scott Beck, and they co-wrote the script. This time, it's just Krasinski himself.
Really?
Produced by Michael Bay, Andrew Form, Brad Fuller, and Krasinski again. So it's not a one-trick pony, but a man who's very much got his fingers in all the pies.
Many paychecks.
Music by Marco Beltrami, who's done lots and lots of shit over the years. 97-minute running time, $61 million budget, which is considerably more than the original film, as you would expect when they are putting together a sequel to a massive worldwide hit. Wayne, what's it about?
Dude, so this follows right like after the events of A Quiet Place. And the Abbott family, the remaining Abbott family, must now face the terrors of the outside world as they continue their fight for survival in silence. Gotta be all that, you know, shit. They are now forced to venture into the unknown to look for other people who have potentially maybe been a safe zone or whatever. They meet up with people they used to live with back in the town, and then they realize that the creatures are not necessarily the only threats that lurk beyond the sand path. That's it.
All right. 187 reviews so far. 90% of them were positive with an average rating of 7.5 out of 10. I guess we'll find out whether we agree with this or not. We saw it separately. I copped it on opening night here in Australia.
Ah, well done.
And you just got back from seeing it, I
saw it this morning at 2:15 a.m.
Busy right? Or not busy at that time?
No, not at all busy. It's an excellent time to watch movies. Yeah. You go for breakfast, then you get to the movie. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You know
what I'm saying? Wasn't that busy on opening night either. It was a little bit of a worry.
It's unfortunate.
See it in the big tight XC cinema at Reading Cinemas.
Oh, that would be nice.
There were people around, but I'd say there's only 40 or 50 people in there. But I will say this. Everyone bought in.
Yeah.
Everybody in that cinema. No one was talking. No one was hollering. I was trying to eat popcorn and I was trying to do it in the bits where there was sound.
Ah, look at that.
Because I didn't want to be that.
Yeah, he's trying to snap a sound mask. Yeah, okay.
And everyone was doing the same thing. So whoever was there was fully bought into the premise, which I really appreciated because that was one of the best things about the first one. The cinema experience.
Totally.
And I mean, other than the film, it was really, really bloody good.
I heard people yelling, not yelling, but from the back after some sort of jump scare. Oh, that shot me, mama shit my pants.
Okay. It was a little bit of nervous laughter after a couple of them because there are some very effective jump scares, I would say,
would
in this film.
I would agree.
Full points to that. What did you think, Wayne, then of, first of all, non-spoilers, if you are here because it's just open around the world, welcome. It's great to have you here if you've not listened to the show before. We will not spoil anything until we hit a sound delineating that so you can listen safely. We'll give our first impressions 5 minutes or so. We always say that ends up being 10.
Exactly.
And then we'll get into the spoilers on the other side. Not that it's a pretty simple film, really, isn't it?
Totally. It's kind of, you could almost summarize it a little bit like the previous film in that it just continues that. All right? Them trying to survive in this weird shit when they can't make noise and there's some shit that they got to do and there's a radio. So...
Can you imagine that on the blurb cover?
Oh, dude, are you kidding me? I don't know why you use my shit.
On the 4K release.
I can't believe they don't quote me, honestly, on posters. Right, so I should mention, everyone, this is a bit close to Paul's heart because this is the movie we got an advanced screening to, and the night of the first lockdown in
March 2020,
right? That was, boom, the night we were going to see this. And Paul was like, Mendoza! Because he was like, he's really looking forward to it, right?
Chafing at the bit for this one.
He was, rather. So now we get to finally see it, and dude, it's fucking great! This movie's fucking great, bro. This is good shit. And I don't like, again, horror movies. Yes, we all know that. But I thought this was pretty much the balls. I mean, you've got, like any sequel, every sequel can't do this, right? Because people say, well, it's not as good as the first one. Sure. Every single sequel cannot break new ground in concept.
Exactly.
Like, you are trading off the old concept.
Because you don't get the pleasant surprise of all this is new.
Exactly. And you can't ever have that with a sequel. So never expect that with a sequel, everyone. All right? That aside, everything else is great. Everything is wicked. Sound design, fantastic.
Oh, the sound design in this film is phenomenal.
Was this a new thing? No, just like what happens is like the sound
7.1? No, that's been around for a while.
No, I'm still talking. I'm not even talking about the quality. I'm talking about because there's a girl in it who's hearing impaired. He actually, by just dropping out the sound, switches perspective from her perspective back to the outside world, which is really clever. Did they do that in the first one? Do you remember?
Yeah, that seems to happen.
So good. It's such a great device and it really draws you in. Other than that, all of this shit is great. Starts with a pop, you know? does some other, like, and all the way through. I will say that there's perhaps a couple of lingering sort of moments here and there.
Yeah, I agree. The pacing doesn't quite hold
even
up the
whole 97 way. Minutes. Yep. It's a little, like, they're draggy a bit. But having said that, this building tension shit is done very deftly.
100%. Basically.
Vindication!
Wayne likes another horror film. I expect to see this on his top 10 of the year at the end of the year. It would be
this
very...
This is the good kind where it's aliens.
Well, that is a question which is answered in the film, and I don't want to speak any more to it, yes. But we'll come back to that in
we
spoilers.
We made an assumption back in the other one, though.
No. I made a distinctive argument in reviewing the first one that we don't get any information as to what these things are. I have a big theory about what is going on in this movie.
I can't wait to hear it.
Which I think will be revisited or touched on in future installments, because A Quiet Place Part 3 is in production.
Mm.
And it's not directed by Krasinski. It's been handed off to the guy who directed Take Shelter, Jeff Nichols.
Mm-hmm.
And it's apparently going to be a spin-off based on this idea. So I don't think it will follow the same characters. I think we'll have a different set of characters in this kind of world.
Well, you could do that now, I guess. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, why not? It's well established, and assuming it makes enough money, but they're obviously banking on it. Because, I mean, $61 million is not a huge budget.
No, but if I was J. Cran, right, I'd be like, yo, man, go ahead, take the franchise. You know I'm going to take you know I'm gonna take like 50% of all the shit you make, and I ain't got to do shit, suck it up.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Look, long story short, it would have had to been a really poor film for me not to enjoy it, because the premise is there. I knew it followed on pretty much from the original film with the characters that are left at the end of that film. And I think this film delivered in spades. It is tense throughout. As you said, couple of moments which are a little bit draggy, which drop my score a little bit.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of effects that don't hold up on the big screens, a little bit overambitious. Particularly one very early on just didn't work at all. I'll come back to that again if I remember in spoilers.
I will say this. The special effects, I'm sitting there looking at it going, I just accept this, right? It's not terrible or anything.
No, they're not. But they're not Marvel quality.
You go,
you know, Downey Jr. Mark Ruffalo's floating head. Even that doesn't hold up if you really scrutinize it very closely.
Right. No, look, I had no problem with it, though. I'm fine with it.
But the storyline, I think, advanced... Well, I really like the way that Millicent Simmons steps basically into being the main character in this film.
This is the
hearing impaired girl, yep.
Dude, she's the fucking bomb. Yep. I was suddenly going, I don't know what's going on with this movie, but I love that character. She's love everything about her.
So awesome. And yeah, the kids look older, but of course they're going to, you know, 2 or 3 years after last production.
I chose to not.
Don't, yeah, who cares? Yeah, who exactly. cares about who cares? That? That's that you just have to accept that and move on from it. And I think this, as you said, sound design's amazing. The score is fantastic. It really, really augments the film really well.
I actually noticed the score. Can you believe that? I know.
Fuck?
Because like, just those crane shots and stuff, right? I'm like, I was like, actually, that I can see. If those notes weren't there, this wouldn't be such a good just opening shot. So stuff like that.
Yeah, I didn't even say stars in it, but yeah, Millicent Simmons, Cillian Murphy, Emily Blunt, Noah Jupe, Jomon Honsu, and John Krasinski as well. I think I did it right that time.
No, you didn't. It's Jomon Honsu. Oh, but it's cool.
Jomon. DJ. No.
I know, it looks like it.
Django. Yeah, fair enough. But basically, I think Cillian Murphy's a solid addition to the cast as well. He wasn't amazing, but you came to care for him.
I didn't even know he was in it, obviously. So yeah, when you see the first appear, I'm like, look at that, who's that motherfucker under that beard? Oh, it's Kill. Kill Murph.
Well, he doesn't even have a beard when you first see him, does he?
He looks all fluffy. He's under the hat. Yeah. Yeah, in the opening scene. Yeah, so. But it was hard to recognize him. I didn't really look. So that was cool.
It has a very similar kind of structure in that it ends on a particular note in the same as the first film, which we have to talk about in spoilers.
That's cool.
My only other thing is I think it went to the well twice on a particular filmmaking technique where we're splitting the action between two or three different things.
How did you feel about that Star Wars
action? The first time, I liked it. I thought it was well done. Second time, I wish they hadn't have done it the first time and saved it for the second.
Like
I think it would have worked better.
Like Star Wars, the original trilogy. They ship the air battle, then the people on the land, and then this. This is kind of that. So I didn't seem to mind it.
I didn't like that as much as I think I would have preferred it had it been structured differently.
Maybe if there was just one of those and then it becomes a novelty at the end, like you said. Yeah, absolutely. I remember looking at it going, oh, I see what we're doing here. Because I was sitting there going, oh, I'm scared for the boy. Oh, no, I'm scared for her. Oh, no, I'm scared for them. Oh, no. You know, I'm like, I guess this is working to actually build up my tension so you get it all at once, which is not terrible.
Yeah, but again, unusual for a show. Those languid moments we talked about, though, had they been interspersed with, it might have solved that problem. So, I don't know.
Yes, good point.
I'm probably nitpicking, to be
brutally
honest.
I'm totally nitpicking because I reckon this is the absolute balls, man. Like,
100% recommendation.
You know what I like really about it? First, I think what I like about the first one as well. It's tight as fuck, and it ends, and it doesn't fuck around, and it, here you go, right? And it gives you all the moments you want. This is much the same. I'm actually impressed with Krasinski as a director.
Me too.
I think he's one to watch.
Second feature film.
Yeah. And this is Jim from The Office, man. You know what I'm saying?
I don't have that baggage, having only just watched The Office this year for the first time. So for me, he's the guy from The Quiet Place.
He's Jack Ryan.
And, actually, right, Jack Ryan first.
You know Jack Ryan gets winged.
No, actually,
right?
I watched Quiet Place first. And yeah, he was in, of course, that Michael Bay film, 13 Hours, which he was the action hero in that film.
Yes.
Good in that film too. So that's how I know him. So now to see him back in The Office playing very baby-faced, cute guy, office joker, likable bloke, that I find an anomaly.
Yeah, because that hair that they've given him that curls mm-hmm. away like that, that's a very specific, oh, he's cute. Okay, right. You know what I mean? And now he's like, he's kind of good-looking father man. Even in this movie, they actually compare and reference what kind of man he was so many times. So he's the shit.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no question. So, look, I think this is a huge, huge recommendation. It's absolutely one of the best films of the year. And I hope it goes gangbusters because it's opening in the States. By the time you hear this, it'll be after the Memorial Day weekend. But they're predicting that this film is going to go gangbusters. It'll be the first big, big hit in a COVID-affected world. So
maybe it's this perfect note where it's like, hey, guys, I know you're all locked down now, but look, sometimes shit, when you go outside, bad shit happens.
Well,
maybe that's the movie they want. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they're not locked down in America anymore. Most of them, a lot of people have had at least their first shot. So people are going back to cinemas. This is opening 3,700 cinemas around
that's
the States.
That's huge.
Which I believe is the biggest one since COVID.
Yeah.
So here's still making a lot of money and doing really well. And we get a whole bunch of stories set in this universe because I'm in.
I read somewhere that this is only available in cinemas for like a
45
month.
45 days.
45 days, is it?
Yeah, and then it goes streaming. To Paramount Plus streaming. Again, in the North Americas. I'm not sure what the deals are for us over here.
That's a new model, man.
Yep. It is. This is the new post-world, again, post-sort of COVID world.
I wonder if that'll affect the Blu-ray sales because people like you who go and get it on Blu-ray when it comes out 10 years later kind of
must
shit.
Must admit, even I have slowed down on buying stuff.
See what
on
I'm saying?
That,
because it's like, yeah, because it's like, oh, well, maybe if their streaming tech gets to Blu-ray like quality, you're done.
It's also just, yeah, exactly. If I can buy it, and store it somewhere and know that I've still got it.
That'll be what it is. I know your shelf by the way, Paul's got a shelf at home with 2,000 counting like Blu-rays and
all
shit.
The DVDs have been packed away into the shed. They got downgraded and shifted out for
I know.
Space.
And I'm like, what's going to happen when they supersede Blu-ray?
Well, then, yeah, I don't have as many
it'll
Blu-rays
be like
as I
DVDs. Yeah.
And I've got the 4Ks, obviously, now.
Optical media is over, man, soon.
Yeah.
Soon.
Look, I agree it is, but it's nice to see it there. It's nice
I agree.
To look in your collection.
It's cool. I want a fucking a book like that I'll never crack open.
Exactly.
Yeah, also. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's our non-spoiler thoughts, way more than 5 minutes. Let's get into it very briefly because there won't be a lot on the non-spoiler. Sorry, the actual spoiler side of Jack.
You can't handle the truth.
All right. If you're still here, you've seen the film. Or I can't possibly understand this, but you just don't care. All right, let's talk a bit about the very end of the film.
All right.
Right. The effect that sucked. The effect that sucked was an early shot where the camera whirls around Krasinski on day one.
Okay, so at the beginning of the film?
Yes, and you see all the action behind him. It was clearly green screen behind
really?
Him. Very, very obviously.
I didn't notice it at all. Is this when he got in his truck and they drove, they hammered on the truck?
It was when he was outside looking around sort of.
Yeah, but then he gets out of the truck, the camera follows him, same shot, goes to the cop car, gets leveled by some fucking
that
animal.
Cool.
That's the big jump.
That was a big jump. That
was
great.
That was all, I liked that whole scene. And him pulling the girl around and saving her and going into different places and shutting people
up. Well,
they
also show how smart the Abbott family are in this scene because very quickly both he and his wife, Emily Blunt's character, realize that it's sound that attracts these things, right?
Yeah.
So whereas other people are still like talking on the phone and
praying loudly.
He's putting his hand over the guy's mouth. Yes. That was good, a very smart way of sort of doing
that. On some level, you're sitting there going, look, I don't want this thing to hear us anyway, so don't make any noise. So even your little prayer. But then after a while, it's like, well, actually, they can't even see.
But
it's the noise.
But not everyone else. A lot of other people don't seem to realize that.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's true.
We're separating them from the shaft.
Mm, you know? Good point.
That was good. The end of the film then where we, Regan, however you say her name, deciphers what the song means and she goes out and Cillian Murphy's character ends up supporting her and whatever else. A couple of great scenes there, like when she's on the train and that thing. And it goes to her perspective, like you said, and it's dead
silent.
That's
so effective.
And the camera very slowly moves to the side and you know
something behind her
it's coming at her and she hasn't realized.
Yep.
Really good, really great scene.
That was an interesting scene where on that train and the thing comes towards her and then she manages to get like the amp or whatever to come out, right? And it subsides it for a bit. Then she fires with a shotgun.
Doesn't kill it.
Yeah, and then it jams. And I'm like, you know what? It's actually really hard to wreck a shotgun action usually.
And she's, what is she, a 13, 14-year-old girl?
Yeah, she's like, and she is struggling with it. So I'm like, oh, fuck. And then it was, you knew, you know,
yeah, Killian Murphy was going to die at that point. Yep.
But that was kind of cool, although he did fire the weapon right at her with a creature between him and her. Mm. He's just hoping it's a hollow point.
And then you think he's left her and he's taken her hearing aid so that she'll have to come back. And there's that great scene where she falls to her knees and the camera booms down and it's all just dead silent and she's sobbing and crying. And then his hand just comes in and hands her the thing.
You know what? I took a piss right when he actually went.
Oh, no.
Hang on. Here's what happened. When I walked back in, she was crying and it was silent. And then he came back and said, I found a boat.
Yep.
So I didn't get that, but now I'm glad you told me. I'm glad you told me.
You and your bladder.
I know.
For fuck's sake.
I got to get a stadium buddy. Do you know what those are?
No. You're not flopping your dick out in the middle of the cinema.
No, here's what you do, right? You put like
You can't handle the truth.
You put like a condom-y thing over your Johnson, right? And then it's a pipe that goes down your leg and there's a little bag by sort of your ankle.
Oh, okay.
And then anywhere you are, you can piss count. It's a,
holy hell, son, you're about as useful as a cock-flavored lollipop.
Anyway, that would be awesome. Yes, but sorry. But you know what? You telling me that, I'm like, you know what? Now I get that scene, I like it even more. Yeah. So what up?
Very end of the film, they get to this place that's safe, of course. A lot of bad luck where a tide just drags one on the boat all the way to them.
I thought that the creature had sailed it there.
just dumb luck. Because here's, okay, on that point, before I forget, here's my theory. These are just the attack dogs of whatever alien invasion it is. Because we see that big shot of this big, huge ship coming through the atmosphere or whatever it is, the flames and whatever,
some
smoke,
sort of craft,
right?
Yep.
These things aren't smart. They don't hunt in packs. They're not coordinating with each other. They might be communicating with each other in a way that we don't see. They just seem to be dumb animals that kill anything that makes a noise.
Sound, yeah, exactly.
So something like, are these creatures that piloted an interstellar spacecraft?
That's a really good point. I reckon it's a really good point. Something's on the other end of the leash. Yep. Yeah, this is the go clear the fucking planet.
Yep, these are the infantry, if you will, the mindless grunts, and there's something.
To make sure that they just level all life on Earth and then they can make it their own.
Not sure why we're 467 days later if that's the case, but still, that's my theory.
This is not bad. Yeah, 467 days is a lot. But that if you were the new director, you'd definitely be pitching that. You'd be like, okay, here it is, because it's a different. We can't make the same movie with different actors. We're gonna make a whole new movie, but it's got this premise on it. Yep. That's good, bro. I can't wait to see if you're right.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, because I can't see how these things like we haven't seen any sign of their spacecraft or whatever else. Why aren't there lots of these things dotted around the landscape? Why aren't, as per most alien invasion films, why aren't we using their weapons against them? All that kind of stuff.
Because they're primitive. They haven't got any weapons or anything. They're not intelligent.
Nope. They just go straight at a noise. They're not smart enough to kind of glean what else might be going on.
How about this? Those are the parasites that were on that ship that crashed. Maybe. And the real aliens, for some reason, are the dead. But one of them survives. By,
like,
you know,
a la Alien and Aliens and Ridley Scott's.
I reckon it's a parasite. Yeah. That'd be good too.
Could be that.
See, that works because parasites would do this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
So they could have been attacking that ship and it crashed and just brought them to us. Yeah, that works as well.
You know what? This movie deserves to succeed because it's good. Go see it, y'all. Go see it.
Absolutely. What did you think of the end? Last bit of spoiler.
Love the end because it ended like ended like the first one insofar as it's done. Boom, end. None of this fucking epilogue, fucking story
you
shit.
Know what? I think this film earned an epilogue. I would like to have seen.
What would you want?
Because the whole time I'm thinking, I can't remember Killian Murphy's character's name, I'm sorry.
The guy, yeah.
Is he gonna go back out there to get Emily Blunt and the boy and the baby? Right? Is he that honorable a guy? Reagan's going, but will he let her go himself? Because he never thought he was going to live, and he kept thinking everyone was bad. And of course, we get the one scene of bad people on the docks, right? Yeah. Which was interesting. And by the way, I thought the guy, the lead baddie there, I thought that was Skeet Ulrich.
Oh!
But it was actually Scoot McNairy. So very
close. Very close.
That beard and shit.
Oh, really? Was it? I didn't recognize
it. I'm really glad we didn't spend too much time on humans are the real enemies because fuck that shit. I'm tired of that trope.
Absolutely.
The zombies have done that to death. The Walking Dead has killed that
for everyone. I didn't even know. Like, when I saw these people on the dock, I'm like, oh, they're bad humans, are they? Because Killian Murphy was talking about people aren't worth saving and shit like that. And I'm like, oh, is that them? And so I guess but it doesn't make sense that they would be bad humans as well if everyone's under the same threat. You know what I mean? Anyway, I'm fine for it to be a thing. I'm fine for it to be
a thing. But I'm glad we didn't spend too much time.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying.
Agreed.
But yeah, I really wanted that reconnection between Reagan and the family because I feel like that emotional
beat. Only now that you mention it do I realize that they never got reconciled.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right. I could have used that. I mean, look, I'm always happy when a horror movie ends. But like...
But as you said, this was an enjoyable horror film.
No, this was fine.
And we get almost zero gore in the whole film. And legs are almost every main character's leg gets mauled at some point in this movie.
Yeah, it's a good point. Think about that.
So it's a little bit wimpy that no major character died in this film, but I'm okay with that. That's not the end of the world.
You know what was really cool? When they got to the island or whatever, right? And there's this just family hanging a big bonfire and shit. I'm like, what?
It was so surreal.
It's like Lost. You know, Lost where you see the fucking houses?
Yeah, it was a little bit. Good point.
So yeah.
And the other thing which I left just dangling there, which is probably the most unnecessary plot thread of the film, is like Cillian Murphy's character is grieving the loss of his wife.
And daughter or whatever?
Mainly his wife. It was his kids, his boy, I think, from early in the film. Yeah. But they died on day one, I think he said.
Yeah.
But his wife died 11 weeks earlier or something like that from some kind of illness.
Yeah, illness, yeah.
And he kept her body, which was, you know, slowly
rotting. Yep.
And the boy finds that, makes noise, attracts the creature to him.
Oh, was that her body?
Yeah.
I was wondering what that was.
So we never got that either reconciled, which is a little bit of a weird... And the only reason that exists then is just to get the creatures to come attack the boy.
So the mum can rescue him.
Yeah.
And then the boy could eventually do the thing where he pulls the weapon and stuff.
Hooray, because he was such an annoying fucking...
I know
he was anxious in the first film, but I thought we already got the elements of him showing a bit of spine at the end of the first film, whereas in this film... They exaggerate that
traps.
Comically.
Yeah.
After he's traumatized by the bear trap, which, by the way, didn't hit his bone. That was fucking fortunate.
Is that what a bear trap fucks you up, right?
There's no way he walks again.
Yeah, you're like, boom, you're fucked,
without
right?
proper treatment. And there is no proper treatment in the middle of whatever fucking junkyard.
I think what we're going with here is that the spring on the bear trap was rusted because it was there for so long. No, right. I don't know.
Yeah. Again, stretching, nitpicking.
Totally. It's fine.
It's not a perfect film. That said, really enjoyed it. Wayne, give us your final score.
82.
Ooh. You slightly topped me.
Ooh.
Slightly topped me.
I was always going to. When I like something that I didn't expect, I
but overreact. Not by a lot. Like, I ummed and ahed about it, and in the end, I land on a 78.
For a guy who's a patron of the genre,
yeah,
that's big.
And I will happily add it to my collection to sit alongside the first film, and I've been trying to talk my wife into coming to see it, because, like you, she's probably, you and her, are very similar horror, although she has a weird blind spot for zombie films.
Mm.
I'm trying to talk her to come and see it at the cinema, because you need the cinematic experience of this film, not just to watch it at home.
I'd agree.
She's umming and ahhing. Will you tell me what the jump parts are? I'm like, no.
Well, I found that the jumps, they were there and I did them. And I think either I'm getting better at dealing with them or seeing them coming. But like a good movie gives you like an 80% jump scare. If it's 100, I get pissed off. No, that's like artless
filmmaking.
I jumped
twice. Not like out of my seat, popcorn flying everywhere. But wow, I didn't see that one coming. A couple were really telegraphed, but a couple got me.
I want the telegraphed ones. Anyway. Nice one.
There we are. That's our review of A Quiet Place Part 2. Get out and see it. Support cinema if it's safe to get out where you can, or if you can get out, of course. Big shout out to our friends in Victoria if you're not out of lockdown by the time this releases, and around the world where you are still grappling with COVID.
Worth a look.
That's all from us. You can find us via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at thecountdownpc, like and follow the show through the Podbean app, and the Facebook list community links on the show notes. And of course, ccradio.com.au for the other great shows on Network Believe and Comic Confidential. And that is it from us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard. The reaction when we both agree about a horror film.
You know, you don't have to make them work in. They're all fucking shit. Just play one. You're killing me, Small. Just like that. Everyone's like, fuck this shit.
You cock juggling thunder cunt.
Let's get out of here. We'll see you next time.